take your Bible and turn to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1. And we're going to read a little bit. Man, I'm glad I'm saved. Just some good music, you know. They had the music appreciation dinner last night, and I hope you guys know we appreciate you, and we love you. And the times in the Old Testament when the glory filled the house, there was singing, there was music, right? And we were able to hear the flute better today and the violin. We're going to start miking the instruments in the orchestra so we can hear them. But man, praise the Lord. And good to hear Brother Jones sing. He's the George Strait of Baptist singing, I guess. Amen. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 18, it says, you know, I love a King James Bible, especially at Christmas. Listen to how this sounds. And why would you want to change this? Now the birth of Christ was on this wise. What do you want it to say? The birth of Christ was like this, dog. It's just, I love how this sounds. Don't you? It's beautiful. The birth of Christ, of Jesus Christ, was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, before is important because it happened later, right? She was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example. You know what the blessing about Joseph was? He was just, and he was willing to put her away because he was just. But he also had mercy and didn't want to make her a public example, right? That's mercy and grace. And not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, and behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is being interpreted, is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and he took unto him his wife, and he knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and called his name Jesus. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. Let's pray. Brother, can you ask the blessing on the message or this today, please?
Father in heaven, thank you for allowing us to come out this morning. What a beautiful day it is, and I'm so glad that your people are being blessed today, and that we are gathering together to ascribe worth to you, Lord, and you alone, and you only, God. Lord, this is Christmas, and while the heathen may rage and the world would remove Christ and God from the season, Lord, I'm glad that we can refer to your word and remember what the purpose and meaning behind it, Lord. I'm so glad Jesus Christ came to this earth, and he was born to die. And I pray that you bless the message that pastors prepared. I know, Father in heaven, that everyone here is ready and willing to receive it. The music has prepared our hearts. I pray that you be honored and glorified in it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen, brother. Can we give that mic to Brother Santiago? I'm going to ask him a question in a second. Let me ask you this. Let's say you got to do it over and you got to go back and be a baby again. Okay? Now let's just say that you were able to pick qualifications that your parents would have. Brother, come up here and let me ask you a couple questions. All right? What's your name?
Will Santiago.
Amen. So, Will, let me ask you this, brother. If you could pick parents, and you could pick their qualifications, what qualifications would you want?
Well, first of all, it's hard to outdo me as a parent.
Amen.
All joking aside, parents that love the Lord, that will provide discipline, will provide for me, will place my needs before their needs, and will teach me God's word.
Amen. That's good. So you're better at raising parents than you're the best at raising parents.
I am the best.
Believe me, nobody raises children better than you do. Okay. Is there anything that you would want them to have materially? Like, I mean, would you want to be born in a shack, or would you want to, you know, to go home from a hospital in a Ferrari? What economic scale? If you could choose, would you pick? Honestly.
Honestly, I wouldn't change anything.
That's good. So God knew what he was doing.
Absolutely.
Right? You know what's interesting is when I ask different people this question, most people say, I would pick my mom. I would pick my dad. Right? And that's the wisdom of God. Thank you. But I asked that question because I started trying to see themes in what people... Somebody said I would want Bill and Melinda Gates, right? Other people said, I would want a disciplinarian. I would want somebody that would definitely provide discipline because I have a struggle with that in my life. And they said these different things. Someone said I would pick a very loving person that would spend time with me, you know? And I thought about these things, and, you know, I miss my wife because she's gone. I think this is the first Sunday I have preached at this church alone since I met her, so I kind of feel out of place, and that might have something to do with this. But I thought, if I could pick parents, I'm glad Michelle was not my parent. I'd rather be my wife, right? But I would pick her because she would provide discipline. She would find my weaknesses and exploit them and help me to grow. Right? She wouldn't let anything go under the rug. She would use everything for a teaching moment. She would provide accountability, love, discipline, education, training, explaining things, you know? But you know what the truth is we don't get to pick our parents. Don't forget, you do get to pick your spouse. Some of you forgot that, okay? But you do get to pick that, but you do not get to pick your parents. But God did. Now, I know that God doesn't have parents. Because he said, before Abraham was, I am. And we know that God always was, and we know that God came from nowhere because there was nowhere for him to come from. And when he came from nowhere, he stood on nothing because there was nothing for him to stand on. And I understand that God is eternal, but God decided that he needed to redeem his creation and come down here and help us because we couldn't help ourselves. And he decided in order to do that, he needed to be born in a human body on this earth and live and die the death we should have died and live in life of the life we should have lived and die the death we should have died to save us from the hell that he created for the devil and his angels. He decided that is how he was going to redeem mankind. And you know what he needed? He needs some people to help him facilitate this transaction. He needed a human that he would use to provide him a body. He decided to do it that way. Now, God's very wise, right? And he chose Mary and Joseph. Think about that. Out of all the people on earth, he chose that teenage couple. And that's pretty deep. All the humans on earth, he said, this is it. I mean, if they messed up, it'd be a really big deal. And they did. They lost Jesus at church before. They didn't do everything perfect, but listen, all of recorded history from Genesis 3:15, where you find the prophecy of Jesus Christ, all the way through all the prophets and Isaiah and everything that God said would happen, hinged on them doing the right thing. It really did. They had to do the right thing in order for history to be fulfilled and prophecy to be fulfilled. And they were sinners. Now here's the thing. Mary carried for 9 months. She carried God around inside of her, right? She had Jesus on the inside. Now is it true that Mary couldn't do the work of redemption? All she could do is bring Jesus to the place where he needed to be, and then he took over and he did the rest, right? Her job was just to get God to the place that he needed to be, and he was going to do the work of redemption. He was going to do everything else. Now, like Mary carried the Lord, we also have the Lord. Is that true? And is it also true that we cannot redeem anybody? We can't help anyone. All we can do is bring God into our situation and our problems and see him work on our behalf. Now, I don't know what he was looking for exactly, everything, but I do know that the qualities they had. Now, I think it would be fair to say this, Brother Ashton. Do you think that the same qualities Mary and Joseph had are the same qualities that we need to have in order for God to accomplish his will in our life? Would that be fair for us to say? And so think about that. The first Christmas, when the Lord came, he chose Mary and Joseph for a specific reason, and God's work was fulfilled. And we're going to look at the qualities they have, and we're going to ask ourselves, do I have these qualities? And if I had them, would I be able to glorify God better than I am right now? What were those qualities? Number one, they demonstrated a yielded spirit. Go to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. They demonstrated a yielded spirit. A yielded spirit is a submissive spirit. A yielded spirit is something that is not going contrary and across the grain. It's yielding to God and what he wanted them to do. And this was very important for history to be fulfilled. And it came to pass in those days, there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria, and all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. Now, did Joseph live in Bethlehem? No. Did the Bible promise that the Savior would be born in Bethlehem? It did. And you know what God used to bring that out? Taxes. Taxes. And you know what? Here's the thing. They were occupied by an enemy government. And so they had to take their money and give it to an enemy government to help them further put them under their boot. Right? They were messing their life up. They took their nation away. Now I'm collecting money so I can be more powerful over you. Isn't that right? That was what's happening. And you know what he did? He paid his taxes. And this is the first time that it ever happened. I still remember the first time I paid taxes. And I'm not talking about a Mountain Dew that I bought, that they charged me 7 or 8 cents on. I'm talking about, you know, when I first started working, you know what I thought tax season was? I thought it was when you filled out a little paperwork and you waited and got a big check in the mail. But then I started my business and I started making money and they started issuing these evil things called 1099s. These accountability things, right? And so then you have to figure this out and they say, okay, you made this much money and you owe us this much. And I remember sitting down to write that check. And I looked at it and I said, Lord, this, why don't I just give it to you? Why do I need to send, this is not right. Have you ever read the Constitution? There'll be no direct tax. This is a direct tax. Man, I was so angry. I was so mad. But you know what the Lord said? Do it. You're supposed to do it. We know every government mismanages money. But you don't understand what God is doing on a global scale. You don't understand what God is doing in your life. Didn't he say that the powers that be are ordained of God? 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 13. Look at that. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 13. He said this, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme, or unto governors, as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers, and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. As free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. In verse 13 it says that evil words submit yourselves to every ordinance. The Bible says in Romans 13, render unto Caesar what are Caesar's. And you know what Joseph and Mary did? They demonstrated that verse. And that was what God used. You know what God learned? Or he didn't learn, but you know what God knew? Sorry, Lord. Did it ever occur to you that nothing ever occurs to God? God doesn't learn, right? But God knew that in order for his will to be accomplished, and for him to be born where he needed to be born, he needed to have somebody that demonstrated a yielded spirit, even when it came to things they did not like, they were burdensome, and it was something that did not benefit them in any way whatsoever. They demonstrated a yielded spirit. And that is what God, he used taxes. The first time he used taxes to get Jesus where he needed to be. Now, you know what? I have a verse that says, render unto Caesar what is Caesar's. And I have another verse that we just read that said, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. But do you know Joseph did not have those verses? He didn't have them. He said, okay, I'm not going to fight it. I'm not going to do it. And he didn't have the direct commandments that we have. Amen. Let me ask you this. Is your spirit yielded to what is right? Is it yielded? To God's trying to accomplish something. And honey, he cannot accomplish it. In your life, you have God. You have the Holy Spirit. And the Lord has places he needs to be. And your job is to yield to him and take him where he needs to be. That's your job. Would you be able to glorify God better with a yielded spirit in your life? How would you like to marry a woman that You had to convince her 40 times that it's okay to marry you, and you're going to treat her well, and okay, I'll do it. And over and over and over, you had to convince her to marry you. And then after you hear her married, you would hear her say, you know what? I really want to go and live with Mom again. And you have to talk to her and settle it over and over. And when it came to what kind of house you were supposed to live in, you, well, you know, Mom's house was so much better. And you know what I really want to do? I want to go live with Mom again. And I think I'd be better off back home. And over you had to tell her, look, we're married. You don't get to go back home. You're not better off back home. And all the time you would have to fight it out again and again and again because she didn't think you could give her more than Mom and Dad. How would you like to live with her, whether with an open question as to whether she decided she wanted to be with you or not? How does God feel when Christians say, yes, Lord, I'll follow you. I'll go where you want me to go. And then, even if it's only 10 cents on a dollar, it has to be argued out and weighed over and over whether it pays to serve God or not. And when you decide whether you want to serve or teach a Sunday school class, you have to decide if it's worth giving up a habit or if you really want to commit to being in church every Sunday. Listen. You know what you need to do? You need to settle it once for all. I am going to serve God. And I don't care what it costs me, and I don't care what the consequences are. I don't care what is going to come tomorrow. I want to be right with God, and I want to be in the will of God. You know what Mary did? She gave herself to an open shame. She gave herself to hardships. It says no man goes to build a tower without counting the cost. No man goes to war unless he's able to accomplish and get the victory, or then he asks for peace. And you know what God's saying? Listen, spend some time. Think about it. Count the cost. But settle it in your heart once for all. I'm going to live for God. And I'm going to yield to Him. You look at Luke chapter 2 and verse 51. And if you don't, I hope you get this. Luke chapter 2 and verse 51. It says that Jesus went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. What does that mean? That means that the Lord Jesus Christ, God, think about this, the Creator God, yielded to and became subject to Joseph and Mary, which were not perfect. Let me ask you this. Is there a greater example of humility? And when God was looking for somebody to be subject to, He chose Joseph and Mary because they were yielded. You'll never get over what God has put you over until you get under what God has put you under. They were under the authority God had put over them, and God subjected Himself to their authority. Isn't that an amazing thing? The God of... And in a way, He said, don't quench the Holy Spirit and don't grieve Him. And I've heard preachers say this, you have Jesus inside of you, and you need to be careful where you take Him because He might be grieved. Right? How is it that God could subject Himself to Mary and Joseph, and we have children that can't subject themselves to their parents, We have wives that can't subject themselves to their husbands. We have church members that can't subject themselves to the authority of a local church. We have employees that can't subject themselves to the authority of their boss. I had a woman tell me before, "You don't understand. What does God know about submission?" I don't know about you, but when I look into my heart, I definitely see the need this Christmas to be more yielded in my life. And I think the reason that God chose Joseph and Mary is they demonstrated a yielded spirit. How can we glorify God this Christmas if we don't yield to Him and take Him where He wants to go? Number two, look at Luke chapter 2 and verse 27. If God had parents and He got to choose, who would He choose? Well, He would choose somebody that demonstrated a yielded spirit. Are you yielded to the authority in your life that God has put there? Number two, you see in verse 22, when the days of her purification, according to the law of Moses, were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of God, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him, and it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after, what does it say? The custom of the law. Then he took him up in his arms and blessed God and saying, "Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation." God picked somebody that would take him to the temple because he had to go there to fulfill prophecy. So when God picked his earthly parents, he picked somebody that was dedicated to the things of God. It was their custom. They wanted to fulfill the law of God. They wanted to fulfill the duties required of a Christian in their life, or required of a Jewish person in their life. Look at chapter 2 and verse 42. Luke 2:42. Let me get there myself. And this is when he is now 12 years old, right? And it says, look in verse 41. His parents went to Jerusalem when? Can you underline that? Every year? At the feast of the Passover? Isn't that what God required back in Deuteronomy and Exodus? Isn't that something God wanted for his people to do? And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And you know what happened? Prophecy was fulfilled. He was sent among the doctors of the law. And once again, prophecy. Look at Luke chapter 4 and verse 16. Luke chapter 4 and verse 16. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. Do you see that? Custom, 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 as he had been brought up every year. Isn't that good? You know what God wants? He wants people that are dedicated to the things of God. There was Simeon there. There was a woman named Anna there. And God had promised them some things that would happen. So he had to choose people that were dedicated to the things of God. For that prophecy to... You know what Jesus was looking for? He was looking for someone to bring him to church. Do we have the Holy Spirit inside of us? When he came, did he bring a gift with him? Called a spiritual gift? And was that gift given for the edification of the body of believers? Amen. Isn't that what God did? And you know what God is looking for? He's looking for somebody that is... What if Joseph and Mary had shuffleboard on that day? What if Joseph and Mary's Aunt Susie had her 89th birthday that day? What if their kids had soccer practice that day? What if they had to go to their taekwondo? Hoo-haw! Now, none of those, it's not wrong for Aunt Susie to turn 89, okay? But she also has Alzheimer's disease and not even going to remember if you're going to be there. But God needs you to be dedicated to His work and dedicated to the things of God. Amen. That's what He was looking for. Let me ask you this. Is there anything in your life that's more important than the Lord? Is there anything that takes precedent over the obligations that you believe God wants you to fulfill? Forget about what I think you should do. Completely. Please. Don't think about that. You know what God wants you to do. What does God want you to do? And are you dedicated to that? Or are other things more important? Dedicated to the things of God. And wasn't it a blessing for Simeon and Anna that they were dedicated? Was it true that there was a lot of corruption going on at the temple at this time? Yeah, well, I know more than they do. You're not supposed to sell things in the temple. And I know who Caiaphas is. You're going to catch me dead before I'll go there because I know more than they do. Things aren't right. No, I am obligated to God. And it doesn't matter what Caiaphas and Annas do. It matters what God wants me to do. I find it interesting that God really, He picked somebody that they weren't fighting it. They wanted to fulfill God's will. They were argumentative. They didn't know better than everybody. And you know who stays home from church? The most spiritual ones. The ones that know better. The ones that say, you're not right with God because you do this, this, and this. Let me tell you something. There's some people here, and there's all kinds of places, is one day you're going to step out of church. And you know what the devil's going to use to get you to step out of church? A spiritual reason. And you're going to think that you're doing the right thing by stepping out. And then when we talk to you in a year, you're going to be further from God than you were when you left. And if you're further from God than you were when you left a year later, then you didn't make the right decision, because the right decisions get you closer to God and not further away from Him. Listen, Does it not matter that God on Christmas chose someone that's dedicated? Ask yourself this. Let the Holy Spirit ask you, am I dedicated to the things of God? Am I dedicated to what God wants me to do? Or is there other things that are more important? After reading Daniel chapter 9, the wise men knew that the decree of Cyrus to rebuild Jerusalem, there would be 69 weeks of years until Messiah the Prince came, and 483 years had passed. And they saw his star, and they said, that is what we have been waiting for, the evidence we've been waiting for. And the Holy Spirit told them that the Savior, the King of the Jews, had been born. And I don't know how they said their goodbyes to family and friends. I don't know who they put in charge of their affairs and their businesses. I don't know what words were said to them that would justify them being gone so long and so far. But arrangements were made, and they mounted their camels, and they went yonder westward to Jerusalem, 500 or 600 miles. Through the northern part of the desert, across the river Jordan, till they came to Jerusalem. Can you imagine the expense? The troubles. There were no cars. There were no jets. There were only camels to ride, going from one nation to another nation where they did not know the language. Can you imagine the time that was involved? And they brought along treasures, gold and frankincense and myrrh, and they came without fear and without regard of cost or consequences. Why? They were dedicated to the things of God. Are we at West Hatch Baptist Church dedicated to the things of God? Or do we have higher dedications? Is there anything more? Listen, soccer practice is not wrong, but God's more important. And when you take Johnny to football practice, then Wednesday night in church, you're going to stand up and say, Johnny doesn't want to go to church anymore. Would you play for Johnny? Because you taught him that there were other things you could be dedicated to more than God. You mean business? You dedicated? Or do you say, I have no thought for life or limb, what I eat, what I wear, what I have to do tomorrow. I can count on Him, and I will serve Him with no future promise for easiness. What is the last thing God was looking for? They demonstrated a yielded spirit. They were dedicated to the things of God, and they were directed by the Word of God. Look at Luke chapter 1 and verse 26. Luke chapter 1 and verse 26. In the 6 months, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. The angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. And he shall be great. And he shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this thing be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the 6th month with her, who was called barren. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. Now look at this response. Ladies, think about it. What if God came to you, said you're going to have a baby, and you didn't have no husband? Would you respond like this, or would you have more questions? I mean, this was her response. And Mary said, "Behold the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." She was directed by the word of God, and if it was God's word, it wasn't optional, and she didn't have any further questions. It's God's word. It's what God wants. You know, they say the principles, if you're ever going to get over addiction, you have to say, if God's against it, I'm against it. Right? If God's against it, then I'm against it. And if God wants me to do it, then I'm going to do it. And she didn't say, well, what are people going to think about me? Did people think bad about her? Did people call Jesus Christ that he was born of fornication? Did they misunderstand them? Did even Joseph, she didn't even ask about her fiancé. Who she was betrothed to. She didn't ask what he would think. She didn't care that she was going to be ridiculed and mocked and called a fornicator and misunderstood. None of that came into account. She just said, I'm going to do it. You know what the, look at verse 18, chapter 2, Luke chapter 2 and verse 18. You know the problem with us is, it says in verse 18, and all that was they heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds, you know. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. You know, God is looking for someone he can get the truth to. Somebody he can show a verse and they'll keep it and they'll ponder it in their heart. You know when the Holy Spirit starts to point something out through his word, he never gives it to us all at once. He doesn't. You know what happens? You'll read the Bible and you'll be like, huh. Yeah, what are you trying to show me, Lord? And you'll pray about it. You'll think about it. And you'll walk on, and then you'll hear someone say something about it on the radio. The preacher will talk about it on Sunday morning, and you're like, man, I never even thought about that, and he preached on it when I went there. That ever happened to you? And you're walking along, and God's giving you truth, and you know what God's looking for? Somebody that wants to be directed by the Word of God that will ponder these things in their heart. They'll say, God, I'm not sure. I'm beginning to see the outline, but would you show me more? I'm open to your truth. But you know what we do? You know, the biggest thing that you can liken Baptists to or Christians is a calculator. Hey, I want you to do this. Well, what's that going to cost? Well, what if I do that, then they'll do this, and I'll do this, and I'll do that, I'll do this. If they say that, then I'm going to say this. But what if they say that, or then they could say that? And you have like a flow chart that's like 30 feet long. And you don't know what to do. God, listen, stop calculating. You are not a calculator. You're a Christian that needs to operate by faith and be obedient to the Word of God and directed by the Word of God with no thought of consequences, life or limb. You know why God chose these couple? Because, listen, He was the Word of God. He had to fulfill the Word of God. So He needed somebody that was directed by the Word of God. Let's keep looking. Look at Matthew chapter 1. In verse 19, where we started, then Joseph, her husband, being just a man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. Can I say this? You've heard this story so many times, but if you can put yourself in Joseph's shoes, it was a very difficult position to be in. I met this young lady named Mary. She's gorgeous. She loves the Lord. This is who I'm supposed to be with. I'm betrothed to be engaged to her. We're set to be married. I have the wedding date marked down. I am so excited. Mary, what's going on? It looks like you swallowed a watermelon. Oh, I'm pregnant. Really? You're pregnant? Yeah. Well, you know that verse in Isaiah where it says a virgin shall conceive? That's me. Yeah. Sure. Yeah. I mean, I am a man of faith and I love the Lord, but it also says, you know, the people that get involved in these things, they bring them out and they stone them. But I don't want vengeance. I don't want to hurt you. I love you, but it doesn't matter as much as I love you. You know, I'm just going to separate from this situation quietly. And he's pondering these things and he's thinking about them. And he really wants to do the right thing. And then the Word of God shows up. Look what happens. While he thought on these things, he's trying to find out what to do. Do you know that's how God works in our lives? Some of you, you're thinking about some things right now. You're wondering, what does God want me to do in this situation? And then you sit down with a cup of coffee and you open up the book of Proverbs and you're like, that's what God wants me to do. It's very clear. I can see what God wants me to do. And you think on those things and you ponder. That's what Joseph was trying to do. What does God want me to do? I've never known her to lie, but this is just unbelievable. God, this is beyond me. I need wisdom. You ever have situations where it's just beyond you? And you really want to do the right thing, but it's just beyond you? He thought on these things. Behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. And for he shall save his people from their sins. Praise the Lord. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Look at this. What a beautiful verse. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and he knew her not till she hath brought forth her firstborn son and called his name Jesus. See, marriage in the Bible, someone can be your wife without the physical act happening. He knew her not. She was his wife. He was called her husband. But that didn't take place until Jesus was born, and then they had six other children and had a happy marriage. But what a sacrifice. What an embarrassment. What a difficult thing to do. Why did not God wait to do this till after they were married? But you know what he did? That's what God wants me to do. I'm going to do it. You know what most people do? They lack the courage to do what God wants them to do. Or they're too angry to do it. In verse 2, the angel of the Lord, in verse 13, Matthew 2:13, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise, take the young child and his mother, flee into Egypt, and be there until I bring thee word. For Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose and took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt. Joseph didn't question it. Hey, go to Egypt and stay there, and I'll tell you when to leave. Sit down. Well, how long am I supposed to sit here? When is lunch? I'm just supposed to sit here with the... Yeah, I'll tell you when to stop sitting there. My dad used to say that. Sit there. I'll tell you when you can get up. 1 hour, 2 hours, three. It's getting close to dinner time. You can get up and go to bed. Just go until I bring you word. Okay, I'm going. Then he's down in Egypt, and the angel of the Lord says, okay, go back. And he says, okay, I'm going to go back. And then on the way back, he said, no, don't go there, go over there. And he said, okay, I'm going to go over there. You know why? Because I want him to be called a Nazarene. That's why I want you to go there. Listen, we have a precious gift, right? We have this treasure in earthen vessel. It's called the unspeakable gift that God on Christmas came down and was born and died for us, right? And if you received Him, He saved you, and you have a precious, precious gift. And God has things He wants to do. And for better or for worse, it must be better because that's the way He planned it. He uses you and I to accomplish it. He uses Joseph and Mary to take Jesus where He needs to go. Amen. You know what He does, brother? He takes you and I, and He uses us to take Jesus where He needs to go. Amen. He has some places He wants to go. And the only way He's going to get there is if you yield to His leading. Amen. If you're dedicated to His work. And if you're directed by His word. The other day, I went out in the morning to start my car so it wouldn't be cold. I'm a chicken when it comes to cold, right? And so I went and start my car. The heat went out in my house, and Brother Lassiter can't come over till Christmas Day to fix it. And so it's cold. I wake up and it's like 65 degrees. It's like the Arctic. 65 degrees. Who can survive in that temperature? The dogs are even cold. Not that I care about that, but I get up and start my car and I go outside. It's like 6:30 or 7 in the morning. And I noticed my neighbor, they were right, it was yesterday, and they were leaving to go to Colorado for Christmas to go skiing. And his name's Jacob, and he has a son about my son's age, and his name is Riley. And I guess they got their Christmas presents before they went to Colorado. And this kid, Riley, he's about Bez's age, and he bought him this little hoverboard. The hoverboard, you know what I'm talking about? And he's coming down the road, and he sees me, and he has a million-dollar smile on his face. I mean, that's my favorite thing that's happened to me this Christmas, just seeing a smile on his face. And I said, you know, that's kind of what we want Christmas to be about. We want to see that smile on the face of our loved ones, right? I mean, and the dad was out there with his coffee, and he was happy, and the son was elated, and I said, what a beautiful thing, right? Listen. Nothing makes anybody happier than receiving Christ. Nothing puts a million-dollar smile on their face any more than having their sins washed away and being made free and being born again. But you know what else? It doesn't just make them happy, it puts a smile on His face. Right? And that's what we're here for. We're here to glorify God, and we want to have Him look down like He did at Job, and have a million-dollar smile. And how are we going to give that to Him this Christmas? That smile? We're going to yield. We're going to dedicate. And we're going to be directed. If I can have the piano player come forward, and you'll bow your head and close your eyes. How's the Lord's smile looking? Brother Josh is going to begin to play. And if God spoke to your heart and he wants one of these things from you for Christmas, why don't you celebrate this Christmas by giving Jesus Christ a gift?